हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जया श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Okay, so now we're on Viraha Astika on the third octet, page 11. If only you would come again. One. Verse 1, Lord Chaitanya's method of devotional service. Wow, Jai. Haribo. Lord Chaitanya's method of devotional service is not performed in solitude. You preach this again and again to your own devotees. Just as the Lord delivered Jagai and Madai out of his own causeless mercy, you explain to everyone that the same method of preaching work has to go on. The world has now filled up with many Jagais and Madais to deliver. Everyone is anxiously looking down the road, waiting for Chaitanya Nitai to come to the rescue. If at such a time as this, you were to personally return to this world and once more preach about all these things the way you always used to. If there were enthusiastic preaching activities again taking place in every direction, then all the people as before would be stirred up in blissful excitement. Your profound shouting would cause the demons and atheists to flee, and your narrations of Lord Chaitanya's message would fill the hearts of the innocent souls. Again, the whole world would be excitedly bustling with good tidings, but as it is, in your absence, now there is nothing of value anywhere. O Srila Prabhupada, your personal suffering, you personally suffer to see the suffering of the fallen conditioned souls. On this day of your separation, I am utterly despondent. 9. O Master, my heart is broken in your absence. This disciple named Abhaya has hereby revealed only a small token of his wretched agony of separation. Right, so, because the Acharya lives on, as we saw, you know, Prabhupada explaining before, and within the instructions of the Acharya. And so by that, then in that way, the Acharya is there through his instructions and everything is carrying on. But as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, the disciples weren't caring so much for that. They were getting distracted by external aspects of the facilities afforded to Krishna consciousness and maintaining those, as opposed to that those are there for the purpose of being engaged in devotional activities. And because of that, then the preaching was not going so well, or not at all. And so then if as Lord Chaitanya, you know, if he'd come again as the instructions of the spiritual master and everyone would take that up, then everything would go nicely. Right? So we have the same principle, is that since it's parampara, it's coming down. Lord Chaitanya, you did like this, then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then Sri Prabhupada. Then we see is that then all this will go very nicely. We stick to the instructions and that, then everything will go forward nicely. But if we make up our own idea and all that to say, oh, it's Kali Yuga, we can't do these things, how, oh, you could do those before, you can't do them now, that kind of bewilderment, then, you know, that's age old. That's as, you know, as I say, saying as old as the hills, that kind of illusion. So the point is no, the instructions are eternal. The principles are eternal. One uses the intelligence how to make things. That's what was already explained. Bhaktisiddhanta used his intelligence how to catch everybody. Lord Chaitanya used. He delivered love of Godhead in his natural form as a Sankirtan, but the Prashandis and all those others, they weren't becoming. So he found methods to go to them, preach to them, go out, and somehow or another catch them. So like that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he introduced. And so in the same way, Srila Prabhupada gave us so many avenues by which we can catch the fallen conditioned souls. Because we have the temples, we have restaurants, We have, you know, ashrams, we have farms, we have communities, you know, we have festivals, we have Rath Yatras, book distribution, Harinam, you know, all these different things. These are all avenues by which we can go out and catch people and bring people to Krishna consciousness. And bring people to Krishna consciousness. And so these Prabhupada's already gave us all these avenues. We can say as, oh, they don't apply anymore, but that's only our illusion. That's only our ignorance. Because these things, they always apply. You know, Lord Chaitanya's time, there were temples. Now there's temples. You know, you'll see. After 5,000 years, there'll still be temples. 10,000 years, there'll be temples. You know, the point is these things always work. So we can't doubt the processes that we have. You know, we might try to present them in a very nice way and all that, like a very, you know, very inspiring, you could say, Harinam program Indrajitna Maharaj used to do in France. Is that the devotees would dress up as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda or Radha and Krishna and all that. And then, you know, they'd have flags and festoons and all this, and they go out down the street. So it was, you know, everyone would dress nicely, you know, and that. And so it was like a pageant, and people appreciated that something's going on like that. He would do a similar thing in Poland. They used to do these dramas where they have these big kind of masks, you know, of these different personalities. So he'd have the devotees dress up and not with a mask and have a hole out there and the dramas out on the road. You know, just you add, embellish, make it attractive and all this kind of thing. But the idea is, oh, no, you can't do these things anymore. That's foolishness. I remember seeing, so there's always this idea that whatever we are at, we're at the pinnacle and everything before this doesn't work. But actually, it still works. You know, people still live in houses that are 100, 200, 500 years old. People still read books that are 1,000 years old. You know, people still do stuff. They're still speaking a language that's also old. And, you know, so all these things, you know, are different. I mean, they don't change. Why? Because it's Krishna's energy. And Krishna and Krishna's energy are eternal. There may be variety. The modes may adjust. But the laws governing the material energy doesn't change. So that means we can always follow the Acharya's instructions. We just have to be intelligent to apply it. But the principle has to be attained. Right? If we want to make some adjustment in detail, we still have to get the principle. Okay.
Maharaj?
So then, yes.
Yeah, it's mean in that song about separation.
Yes.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we can see that Srila Prabhupada, he speaks strongly about his god brother.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the attitude for Prabhupada disciple and disciple of Prabhupada disciple? In order to not be catch into criticism or like that, you know?
Well, the thing is, this Prabhupada was going, he was preaching, he was doing these things, and his god brothers had been instructing, they weren't. So in that way, you can make comment, but to not be doing yourself and then to make comments, and what's the point? So in other words, he's making a comment in an area that he's working. He's not commenting on management.
Yes. Yes.
Right. You know, or, you know, what they cook for lunch or other things like that. He's commenting on the practice of pure devotional service and the preaching of pure devotional service.
Yes.
Right? Because that's the whole thing is Lord Chaitanya has given, you know, as we saw in Chaitanya Charitamrita yesterday, that Lord Chaitanya has explained to Sanatana Goswami, the whole process is you understand what pure devotional service is. You mold your life and practice that. And doing that, now you try to give that to others. Right? So you're developing it yourself and you're helping others develop. Whatever level you are, you can help others get to that level. And you can say, oh, well, I can't take them all the way through, but there's other devotees more advanced, they can take them farther. You do what you can. So he's pointing out is he doesn't see that this understanding and preaching and discussion of pure devotional service is there, neither is the preaching of it. Right? So there might be some collection, there's maintenance of the temples, management's going on, you know, things like that. Some of these his godbrothers are very good managers. But he's not seeing that where's the preaching, where's the drive? You know, so there's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you know, we're from Brajbasis, they have drive, therefore they preach. They have life, therefore they preach. Right? If you have life, you'll preach. So that's the whole thing. If you actually value it, you'll see how important it is for others. You know, if you just value yourself, the benefit you'll get, then you may not. Right? Or there may be those occasional and very advanced devotees who they sit and they do their bhajan and all that. But, you know, our business is not dealing with them. We're talking about those who are because we see as in our line, there may be Babaji's, but they were preaching. Right? They were preaching.
Yes.
Yeah. So they may not have been traveling around and all that like the sannyasis were, but they were preaching. So we don't have something where just someone just sits and does their sadhana and that's enough. Mm-hmm. Like that. But the point is you have to know what is the standard and follow it yourself. And then you preach that. You can preach that directly yourself, or you can organize together into as an institution and then do a very, you know, grand effort. So that's when the institutional considerations come in.
Yes.
Is at that point. But otherwise, that everybody's following the strategy, that's devotional service. Lord Chaitanya, what he's speaking to the Goswamis, that's the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Then it means, and every devotee can follow that, and every devotee can preach that. Now, if you want to organize it together, now you get the operational, tactical, technical elements coming in.
Yes.
Right? But otherwise, What is the operational, tactical, and technical doing? They're simply seeing that individuals are following the strategy and that those individuals are working together, you know, as a team to help others take up the strategy. There isn't something else. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a separate thing. It's all part of the same process, the same what's going on. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah. So that's the difficulty that comes down. So Prabhupada's talking about that. So that aspect, then one can speak about it. You know, if that's what you're doing, then you can speak about it. Why not? But it also has to be in an environment in which there'll be a benefit. You know? Like that. To speak to people that it won't have any benefit, then what does it matter?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
He wrote that prayer, I think, in 1958. It was mentioned.
Yeah.
So it was before the League of Devotees, I think. Before the League of Devotees.
Before which?
Before the League of Devotees.
58? No, not necessarily.
No.
Like that. I'm not sure what year in League of Devotees was, but it, not necessarily. Because he was already running the League of Devotees, and he was already, oh, we like this. May have been, may not have been, but the point is he would have been trying to be involved. You know, like that, he'd go to the temple. There's other ones where he mentions about them just ringing the bells and all this and that. So this is the disappearance day. He's saying this. So there's also one for appearance day. And so there, you know, he's talking about the just ringing the bells. So, you know, it's nice. The artiks are going on and that. People can come get the artik. They'll come get darshan and go away. You know, where's the book distribution? Where's the preaching? Where's all those aspects?
Yes.
So if those things go down, then, you know, everything becomes, you know, it's just a matter of maintenance. You know, maintaining the temple so that you can maintain the temple. You know, but it's the temple is there to preach.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
this player quite strong on preaching.
Yeah, because that's our movement. That's the movement of Lord Chaitanya. You know, is those who understand the mission, which is to deliver the fallen souls. And to do that, then you yourself have to be practice. You practice and you help in the process.
Yes.
So that's the mission. And so those who accept that and, you know, try to do that, that's the movement. Those who associate amongst themselves, you know, in that mood, that's the society, right? And those who associate with the idea of organizing things so that these things go on in a very systematic way, that's the institution.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, so this is not, see, Prabhupada said, no, he's speaking in this way. He's speaking about pure devotional service and preaching pure devotional service.
Yes.
He's not talking about other things. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you for your clarification.
Yes. Okay. Now we have prayer unto the lotus feet of Krishna. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, on board the ship Jaladuta, September 13th, 1965. Okay. Okay. Krishna Taba Punya Habipai. A Punya Koribe Jabe Radharani Kushihabe Dhruva Ati Bali Tomatai. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati Sachi Sutta Priyayati. Krishna Seva Jara Tulanai. Se Se Mahanta Guru Jagater Madhye Uru Krishna Bhakti De Tai Tai. Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. He is that great, a saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. Tar icha balavan pascha tiete tan tan hoy jate gorangera nam prithivite nagaradi asamudra naranadi chakale loy Krishna nam. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world. Right? In all the cities and towns and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, the streams, everyone will chant the holy name of the Lord. Footnote 11. This strong desire is essential for both attaining the mercy of the Lord and for sharing it with others. Srila Prabhupada writes in Renunciation Through Wisdom, a living entity becomes freed from all suffering as soon as he admits that he is an eternal servant of Lord Krishna. Such a servant of the Lord need not perform fruitive activity or cultivate a pure philosophy, nor does he have to undergo any other process of purification. The only essential factor is this intense greed for devotional service to the Lord. An extreme longing for Lord Krishna is the only means for attaining him. Thus, intense, unflinching devotional service is another symptom of a Mahatma, right? So by a strong desire, means he has this strong desire, this intense desire. And by that, as the promise we see in the last song, then his followers are taking that mood, are empowered to therefore preach this all over the world. And then Prabhupada was lamenting that they've given up this mood and this following. Therefore, they've lost that empowerment. So we see it's not that we're making it happen. It's the acharyas, they're making it happen. If we follow, we take up that intense mood, then that same power, we'll be able to do the same thing. We'll be able to do all that, just like you see. Lord Chaitanya preached, you know, specifically in South India, and the Goswamis then preached in all other art parts like that. And then other devotees went out around the world. And then around the world, Prabhupada went around the world. Then we see then other devotees who preach in a particular area. And then within an area, someone preaches in a specific, project, someone in that project, specific area. So it gets right down, 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 down. And so, but they can all carry that same strong desire, that same, intense greed. That greed is that this is so nice, you want more. Not that, oh yeah, this is enough. No, you want more. It's so good you want more. So that the devotional service, one wants more. The giving that to others, one wants more. All these different things then make it very dynamic, so that one is able to move forward. You know, move oneself forward, and then the whole society forward. Then the second footnote: Prithivite Paryanta Jata Ache Desha Grama Sarvatra Sanchara Haibeka Moranama. My names will be broadcast in all the villages and cities of the world. Even though persons averse to the Supreme Lord have never heard the forms, qualities, and activities of the Supreme Lord, the holy names of the Lord will be preached in all the villages of the world. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antyakanda 4:126. So even though people averse to the Lord haven't heard these things, by the grace of the Lord, by this drive, by the order of the Lord, by the devotees' desire to please the Lord, then all these good fortune will be there for all living entities. So even though they're not looking for it, the devotees will go out to them in every town and village. That's what's unique, because Krishna, we see, is he takes that mood of just as you surrender, he reciprocates, because he being everything, therefore how you deal with him in any facet of his you know, personal or you know, the extension of his shaktis, he reciprocates in that way, in that mood. You know, just like he is rasa, so whatever rasa somebody deals with him in, he reciprocates that rasa, and to the intensity, to that intensity, right? So with Kubja, he interacts on her level, the queens on their level, the gopis on their level. And then the gopis, then you'll see those who are, you know, other groups, and then Radharani's group. It'll be more intense than within Radharani's event, Srimati Radharani herself. And so he reciprocates with every. So she being the Sarup Shakti, that's his full, you know, her full love, and his full love, that's complete in itself. So Lord reciprocates with everybody, but if somebody's not in some way trying to interact with him, then how does he reciprocate? Because that's his vow, that's his nature. But the devotee, so because that's his rasa, you know, how he encompasses everything and how he'll deal. But then you'll see is the devotee has their rasa, their relationship, and how so they can go out and preach to others. Then on that level, then Krishna reciprocating, that gets the taste. That becomes your intensity of rasa, that, you know, is known by that title. So therefore is that this whole idea is that everywhere, and that it will happen because of this potency Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave. And then Srila Prabhupada, then taking that, you know, in full enthusiasm, then gives that to us. So that full potency is there. We simply have to take it. That's all. We simply have to take it. Does this make sense? Yeah?
Okay. Maharaj, I have a question. Can we say that when Srila Prabhupada created ISKCON, we can say it's for all the world, but I also heard that he created, for example, Bhaktivedanta Institute to catch people who are not inclined to come to temple, for example.
But as it's mentioned here, my names will be broadcast in all villages and cities of the world, even though persons adverse to the Supreme Lord have never heard of the forms, qualities, and activities of the Supreme Lord. The holy names of the Lord will be preached to all villages of the world. So all those people that are out on, you know, Times Square, they were all, you know, just happened to be shopping down there. But, you know, when their shopping's over, they'll be back at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, all those people, you know, walking down, you know, I can't say, but Champs-Élysées. Champs-Élysées. So they're all just pure devotees, just happen to be out because they have family duties and other occupational duties. So they're out in the street at that time. But you know, when they, you know, in the evening or morning, they'll be there at the temple, right? No, the whole of ISKCON, we have to understand, is the BI is part of that context. It's not separately constituted. It's just another feature, just like Govinda's restaurants. You know, it's not that it's a separate entity. You know, so that's the beauty of the ISKCON, how Prabhupada put together the whole ISKCON, is that it has the aspect of the whole mission, the movement, society, all those aspects are there. And you do have the institutional aspects just to make sure that things are going on, so that it becomes formulated so that things can progress very nicely, right? That has to be appreciated. So then, and the thing is you could run a restaurant that it is an ISKCON restaurant. You could run a restaurant that's not an ISKCON restaurant. It's your own private restaurant. But the point is you are someone who's committed to the principles of ISKCON and the mission that Srila Prabhupada gave. Therefore, in that way, it's connected to ISKCON. It's doing the same work. Though the management of it may be yours, the results of that will be yours. And then you'll do with it whatever you see best in, you know, to increase Krishna's service. Does that make sense? You know, or it can be that it's under the institution. So that's the difficulty, is that we try to make it, it's the management of the money of it, the manpower of it, that makes the difference of what it is. No, it's the movement, the mission that makes it what it is. And then it's just who's under control.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So if the temple has a restaurant, and something goes wrong at that restaurant, then you can say, yes, it's the temple, it's ISKCON's problem. But if someone running a private restaurant, you know, they're a devotee, something goes wrong at the restaurant, you can't say that's ISKCON's problem.
Yes.
You know, if you want to, then you have to say, is okay, every crime that went on the street is the problem of the church.
Yes.
Because the guy's Christian, or he's Jewish, or he's Islamic, or, you know, like that. So therefore, no. It's private. They're a private citizen. They're doing, that's their own thing. So that doesn't, there, people can say all they want about this or that, but that point is that it's an individual. People make mistakes. Just like in the temple, it's individuals. They've come there to do service for the Lord. They make mistakes. But we can distinguish what's the institution and what's not. Right? So then it becomes very, you know, it becomes more clear. But it's so nicely done that it all can work and it can all get, because it's all functioning under the chit potency. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
But now, so that's just to make clear, because for me it's an important point, that Srila Prabhupada is a founder acharya of ISKCON, and also of BI, and also of BBT. It is three different means institution, in the sense that they are independent.
But I don't think but are you sure the BI has its own separate constitution and everything?
No.
Yes, so it's just, no, it's just, it's part of, yes, but that's the point is
yes.
He only established ISKCON and BBT as two separate entities, legal entities, because he doesn't want the books to go down with the society.
Yes.
You know, just like you had individuals who were making a court case against the society because they were trying to take the society and the books.
Yes.
But the books is separately done.
Yes.
So that's the whole thing, is if one goes, the other is there. You don't, you know, you don't put all your eggs in one basket, I think is the saying, right?
Yes.
So these two are, and then India, because it was started in India, like that, you establish these things, but that was left. Other places, they have the thing, but they're all part of BB, you know, the international ISKCON, and also this is, but as far as legality goes, if anything happens with ISKCON in the West, you'll still have the Indian ISKCON, right? Just because of the nature of the Indian subcontinent seems to be more favorable towards, you know, religions based on the Vedas than the West.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's just like in, I think it's, you know, in Europe, then different countries, some of them are quite cool with the society, some are not.
Yes.
You know, some are, I think, as I've heard of countries where you can't say the international society, you have to say the national society. It means, in other words, it's the society just in this country.
Bulgaria is one of those, man.
Yes, okay, so like that. So you have different countries. Is no, we're not part of an international thing. You have to say it's local. Fine, we don't care. We just want to be able to preach. You know, Hungary, they're deciding, are we a religion or not, or this or that. So out of like some like 250 different religious groups in the country, they cut it, whittled it down to like 50. So these are bona fide and everybody else can take a hike.
Yes.
You know, because they were just seeing that people are just coming in and taking advantage of the government, you know, policies of trying to benefit religions. And so it was just money making. It wasn't actually religious activity. So they investigated and saw who's actually doing religious activity. You know, that kind of a thing. So is there. So the point is no, the BI is just those individuals that are within that. And then they preach within that sphere, just like those who are doing, let's say, college preaching, they preach in colleges. Those who are doing the prison preaching, they preach there. Some of those who are doing farming, they do there. They don't need to be separate societies. There's no need. Prabhupada already established whatever's need. So therefore, there's no need of establishing a separate society like some people do. But why would you do that? There's no need. You know, oh, no, we don't want to be under the management. But then the point comes down is, what's wrong with being under the management? What is there? What gets in the way? You know, oh, but they don't know what we know. But do you know what they know? Okay, you're a professional scientist, but they're professional spiritualists. So now, since you're supposed to be preaching spiritualism, why can't you hear from professional spiritualists? Well, I'm also a devotee, but you're not identifying as a devotee. You're saying you're a scientist.
Yes.
So then, therefore, you need the guidance of a spiritualist. And if you're a spiritualist, then why do you need a separate institution anyway? So that's the whole thing, is that this desire for being independent. But then who's independent? Because then each one, because as you see, they fight over each other. Do we go out and directly deal, or do we just go in there and try to be nice guys so they think we're fabulous and we move up in the ranks and we can rub elbows with all the big guys? And we can say, yeah, I talked to this guy and that guy, though none of them become a devotee. Then what's the point? You know? What you see is that it's like those who speak like that, who knows who they are? But in their day, I don't know about now, but there were, you know, two devotees where they would directly talk about Krishna consciousness. And at least in America, you know, they were, if it came down to, you know, knowing about, you know, how you say extraterrestrials and that, they were considered the authorities in the field. Everybody knew that these guys knew what they're talking about, whether the academy accepts them or not. But if you wanted to talk about this stuff, talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So at least they were getting somewhere.
Yes.
Because the idea is that you're supposed to make, you know, break, either make them into devotees at least, if not, break down so they can't have this, you know, effect on disturbing everybody else's devotion. But if it's just a matter, no, you have to get in there and be buddy-buddy with them, then only it's like, since when? That's how all the big names in science got in the position they are, by being buddy-buddy with everybody. Or they had their theory, they preached it, they defeated others like that, they showed how it worked. Then with time, people accept. Is that all right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Yeah, so the whole point is it has a fluidity, but there is specific what is the institution. It means there's the legal institution, then there's the movement as an institution. So in other words, it's been institutionalized in the way that it has a form so that everybody knows what to do and take part. Otherwise, if everybody does whatever they like, what's their qualification to do whatever they like? Right? What's their background that they know what to do?
Yes.
You know, so then Prabhupada's worked out perfectly how to do it, you know, and one time he was asked, would you change anything? And he said, no.
Yeah.
You know, if you had to do it over again, would you have, you know, when you came to America, would you have done something different? He said, no.
Yeah.
So the whole point is what he left us with is, you know, what he left us the books for the next 10,000 years. Not that they need to be rewritten and rewrite this and that and turned upside down as, you know, we think is fit. Prabhupada said we can make commentary. So if they want to make a commentary, this is the one thing I don't understand. You say, make a commentary. Oh, we're not qualified to make a commentary, to make a long-lasting comment on Prabhupada's things. We don't feel we have the qualification. Okay, then don't say anything. No. We're going to change the words so we don't need a commentary. It's kind of like, that's a long-lasting eternal. Why do you think you have the qualifications for that? That doesn't make any sense. You know? So that's the thing. The normal thing is you don't touch them. Once it's done, it doesn't touch. That's why some have a problem. Even that, Jayadwaita Maharaj went back and redid the Bhagavad Gita. But when he were doing it, he went back to what Prabhupada had said before. But the point is what Prabhupada was saying was fine. But at the same time, he went back and some words were not clear. Some points were left out. Sometimes he saw that points were left out so in the purport because it wasn't understood by Hayagriva. And yes. So then he puts those in. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You know? So like that. It doesn't matter. It's whatever is working. But at the same time is, you know, you have to be very, very careful about this. Because that's been done. Okay, now we can change anything. But then how much of the time does Prabhupada talk about here? His desire. You know, the living entity, he should do this. Yes. You know, now by the modern political correctness, you can't use those. Does that mean we're going to go through and rewrite all the books?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, them should be done, do this. You know, now it's okay. You know, so. You can't do that. That's just the way it is. Otherwise, they're going to rewrite everything. They're going to go back and rewrite, you know, Mark Twain and Bernard Shaw and, you know, all those guys and, all the guys, you know, so many authors in France and in Italy. And, you know, we're going to rewrite the Iliad and Odyssey. You know, like that. Because what is it? You know, I can't remember what his name was, but, you know, because he identified, you know, like that, you know, his cisgender, he saw himself like and the masculine role in that. And because of that, he was very much attracted to Helen, who, you know, happened to be identifying as a female, even though he also happened to be within a feminine form. And therefore, he took her off to his city of Troy. You know, do we have to redo anything like this? You know, Beowulf, you know, Grendel's mother, you know, Grendel's a boy, like then his mother, and then what's that? What if she thinks he's the father and all that? And, you know, do we have to rewrite everything? Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's, if we do, then that's what Orwell was talking about. Exactly. Is that in the name of this so-called political correctness? You have to rewrite everything, you know? So, no, this is what it is. That's the way it stays. We have to rewrite Shakespeare because the language is that his language didn't even, it's its own language. It has its own grammar and everything. He was a good writer, a good orator, but he didn't necessarily know all the grammar and all that so well. And so he does things that technically, according to English grammar, aren't the proper way that they would do it, or it wouldn't be how people were speaking necessarily. Mm-hmm. But it's its own thing. So yes, so then here's going to be, you know, Prabhupada's books. If everything changes in the future, you know, you say you have the old English, middle English, and now English, and then we're just going to be speaking new English or newer English or really, really new English, you know, then people will, you know, oh, you can read Prabhupada's books? Wow, you know, you're really educated, you know, whatever. So the point is it's there. And then if you have to make a translation of it, that's another thing. But the book stays the way it is. Like you translate it into French, we don't burn all the English books. You know? Like that. Does that make sense? You know, we're not in the Middle East here.
So Maharaj, it seems that it is very important that the understanding of the philosophy must be very clear and put into especially with the books, no? Like we have seen in the translation of the first refrain, the song, and also that the institution follows the order of the Acharya.
Yes, that's its business. So that means anybody who identifies himself in the mission and movement of Lord Chaitanya following Srila Prabhupada, they identify with his teachings. As you see, that's the most important element that he was talking about. You know, Prabhupada was talking about in the Viraha Astaka, was about that they are following the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and that order itself is the potency by which they can get it done. So by his strong desire, then taking that mood, then you can actually preach and get things done. But somehow or another, they weren't focused on that. And so therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present. You know, so that's the point that Prabhupada is pointing out. So that's the mission. That's your goal. The mission is that one person becomes Krishna conscious. If you can somehow or another make one person Krishna conscious. Yes. That's the mission, you know. Yes. But as Lord Chaitanya said, you're making yourself Krishna conscious. So in this way, two people become Krishna conscious. Or by you making them Krishna conscious, then
problem.
Yeah, we'll just wait a moment. Maharaj's side is cut out.
Mataji, our signal is weak here a little bit.
Yeah.
It somehow remains.
Well, let's see. There's a few more minutes remaining. He'll probably try and join again. Okay, I think we should finish the class here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.